Hello and welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike and I play with so many population bombs on the field.
I'm Kevin. Gallade Sharpness is dumb.
Gallade Sharpness is dumb.
Yes, Gallade Sharpness is very dumb. It does a lot more damage.
Have you been playing against that recently?
I've been losing to it.
Oh,
that's a really? Fact. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are using Hamster Mania's new Gallade Sharpness team. It's not fun to play against. It is really good if you know how to play it well. And yeah, that's been scaring me every time I've encountered it on the ladder. I haven't won against it yet. I don't know what to do against it. And the thing is, like, Gallade, how much is a sharpness boost? 50%?
50%, yeah.
It feels like 50,000%. I don't know why. Mostly because every move that also has sharpness applied to it is a high critical hit move. So maybe that's why.
And you've got a lot of stab, and you've got, like, Terra. You can just Terra into, say, like, a Night Slash, and that'll do a ton of damage as well.
I think, like, Sacred Sword counts as a slashing move. Psycho Cut counts as a slashing move. Sacred Sword ignores defenses, which is another one.
Right.
Leaf Blade, I think, is a slashing move. Mm-hmm. High crit chance. Night Slash, high crit chance.
There's another one. Aqua Cutter, I think, is new.
That's a new one. Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I don't think Gallade gets that one, but that might be like a Veluza ability.
And Veluza does get Fault and Veluza.
Veluza isn't being played that much.
No.
Maybe people just don't know what is going on. But I think Veluza, especially with that cool new Fillet Away, can be good.
Interesting. So that's some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about today. But before that, I do want to immediate tangent. No, that's how we do it. Like, the past couple episodes, it's always been like, let's just jump right into it. But I want to bring it back for a second. I want to read to you a AI generated welcome to PokeSports.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
There's this new chat feature, this new AI that's kind of sweeping the world right now, ChatGPT. And so I told it to write a podcast intro for PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. Okay. And it came up with, "Welcome to PokeSports, the competitive Pokemon podcast for trainers of all levels. Join us as we discuss the latest tournaments and events, share tips and strategies for improving your battle skills, and provide in-depth analysis of the metagame. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or just starting your journey, PokeSports has something for everyone. So grab your Pokeballs and let's get ready to battle."
Holy Pokeballs. We're going to get replaced one day, huh?
Dude.
That was better than anything I could have ever written in 30-something episodes?
Uh-huh. We still haven't. We haven't put out a channel trailer because we can't.
Just save that. Hold on. We might need that.
Okay. Just cut it. Cut it. I'm going to cut it and put it as a channel trailer. That's what I'm going to do.
Wow. We are not needed here. Guys, just talk to this AI. You'll be fine. Ask this AI what the best moveset for Skeledirge is.
I will do that in a second. I think it only can do things from like 2021 and back, because that's just what the data that it pulls from. It just takes a snapshot of the internet about a year ago and figures it out. But I did ask it, should Pokemon tournaments have open team sheets? And I think that's probably a good first segue into what we're talking about today. According to ChatGPT, I'll paraphrase a little bit because it's long. They have opinions on open team sheets. I'll give you the first and the last paragraph. Whether or not Pokemon tournament, yes, there are four. Whether or not Pokemon tournaments should have open team sheets is a matter of debate among players and organizers. Thank you for teeing this up. Some argue that open team sheets can level the playing field and prevent players from using surprise tactics to gain an advantage. Others argue that open team sheets can limit strategic flexibility and make the game less interesting. I'm blowing Kevin's mind right now. The final paragraph says, "In the end, the decision whether or not to have open team sheets in Pokemon tournaments is up to the organizers and players. Some tournaments may choose to have open team sheets, while others may prefer to keep them private. Ultimately, the goal should be to create a fair and enjoyable competition that allows players to showcase their skills and strategies." Need to have a podcast? Like, I don't know.
No wonder this generation is so dumb. AI does it for them. They can. Yeah. It wrote an essay on one question.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. And so I'll get to the other paragraphs as we talk about this.
But I wanted to ask it what the Alamo was all about, I could write a whole five paragraph essay with just AI. Because everything this, we're talking about the most, guys. Let's be honest. You're listening to a Pokemon podcast on the interwebs. We're in the minority here. AI shouldn't know about what we're doing. Somehow, it knows exactly what we're doing. Has very accurate opinions to it.
Yeah. Yes, it does. We'll get to some more ChatGPT answers today as well. But let's get into that, though. What do we think about open team sheets? Right now, we have a tournament that we're putting together on our Patreon, patreon.com/pokesports. Signups for that end tomorrow as people are listening to this on December the 8th. The issue that we've had is that in the history of the league, which is what we call it, we have semi-open team sheets. We have the list of Pokemon, which is not a full open team sheet.
Yeah.
Full just open team sheet would just be bringing. Exactly. Full open team sheet would be like, you know, Pokemon, their moves. Do even some have their EVs?
No, open team sheet does not have EVs. It's just moves and items.
Moves, items, and Pokemon names, yes. So in Sword and Shield meta, you could kind of get away with that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because everybody had the same Dynamax. Everybody had the same possibility to Gigantamax if it was available to them.
You'd have to say if it was Gigantamax too on open team sheets before. Yeah.
Right. But now in Scarlet and Violet, you have 18 different types that any one of your Pokemon could be.
Mm-hmm.
And people can change those at the drop of a hat. If you have enough crystals, you can just go and change your Terra type. So for a tournament like ours, which goes for a month long, it's hard to say, you know, stick with this same Terra type from start to finish without actually policing that.
Yeah.
We ran off such an honor system before and it worked really well because there wasn't too many things that you could change. Maybe a couple moves here or there. Maybe
EVs we wouldn't catch.
But sure, you know. We wouldn't catch that. But this terrestrialization, the main mechanic and the thing that like really, you know, sets the pace of a battle, it's hard to police with closed team sheets.
It's hard to police specifically because we can't lock battle boxes either. And we can't just sit here and record everyone's matches and just be like, hey, you didn't do this. Naughty, naughty. But I think the best course of action when it comes to open and closed team sheets, I like the way, okay, I guess we should preface this by saying that we had a tournament this last weekend from Limitless VGC in which they had open team sheets, but no terrestrialization was involved.
Right.
In this next upcoming tournament that we have this weekend, Victory Road, they're doing it the opposite way. They're having closed team sheets. So that means you don't see moves, you don't see items, but you see the Pokemon and you see the ability.
Right.
And the Pokemon and the Terra type. Yeah. I think that's honestly the best way of doing it. They're treating Terra type like it's a G-Max, right? Like it's a G-Max thing.
Right.
If you're a G-Max, you have to tell us you're a G-Max. That's it. I think the surprise factor in VGC is important. I know a lot of competitive players will disagree with me saying that they like open team sheets. That's because they can play better with open team sheets. Obviously, they know what they're looking at.
Right.
But that's when you play a game of chess, you don't exactly know every move that your opponent is going to make. So that's what I kind of compare it to. But
I think the tough thing for us is that ours goes over the span of a month.
Yeah.
Which right now is really tough because the meta keeps on changing. People kind of find new things to go and use their Pokemon with. Not displaying the moves for a certain Pokemon is tough because if we do what, say, Victory Road's doing, right, and they have closed team sheets, Terra types are shown, you can see what your opponent will have as a Terra type. You can then change your moves to manage that Terra.
But that's technically the same thing that you can do if you know what Pokemon they're going to bring, which is what
that's
we were
a good
doing
point.
Prior. Yeah.
And so that's the whole, that goes back into the honor system. And I think that's a level of honor system that I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm on the same page as you here, just going with closed team sheets, Terra types displayed.
Yeah. Cause then it's not theoretically closed.
Yeah.
Because, like, you get to see, okay, they're bringing a Skeledirge. They're a fairy-type Skeledirge. And theoretically, they don't have to tear that Skeledirge, right? They could just leave it alone. If anything, it might actually influence people not to Terastallize just to screw their opponent up. You know?
That's true.
They're like, oh, he's going to hit me with a poison move because he thinks that I'm going to Terastallize into fairy Skeledirge. But meanwhile, I'm just going to stay ghost type and that's not going to be very effective on me.
Yeah.
Good luck.
The more that I play with Terastallization, the more that I realize that I have no idea what I'm doing with it.
I've made a point to... Because, like, before in, like, Sword and Shield, I wouldn't have much time to watch content creators because I was making content myself. But I made it a point to improve because I have absolutely no idea what's going on in the meta sometimes, especially when this mechanic is so different and you have to learn so much about it. I'm making it a point to watch good competitive players. I'm watching Pangy. I'm watching Sableye. I'm watching people that know how to play the game. Right. Mm-hmm. Might not be as cute as us, but know how to play the game. I love you guys. Definitely know how to play the game better than both of us. I think we can both agree. So what I've been noticing that they're doing is that they hold Terastallization, which I know, revolutionary concept. We have to hold Dynamax for as long as possible, but they hold Terastallization not until they find a good offensive time for it, but when they find a good defensive time for it. Defensive Terastallization is really good from what I can tell. Even Pokemon that don't even carry, like King Gambit is a great example. King Gambit will carry Kotal Cleave, Sucker Punch, and Iron Head every single time with Protect. Will never carry a Terra Blast.
Right.
But for some reason will also never be Dark and will never be Steel type. Just because you make it Water, you make it Grass, you make it Flying, you make it anything random. Just so that you can stay alive, because that's your goal, is to stay alive. So it's very interesting. I feel like defensive Terastallization is probably the way to go. If you can magically make it so that you can be defensive and offensive at the same time, then that's just an ideal world. That's like Gyarados is a great example of that, right? Just eliminate the electric weakness, turn into a grass type, go for a Terra Blast, turn into a ground type, go for ground Earthquake.
Yeah, and we've been seeing a ton of that in like Torkoal going for Terra Grass. I just recently used a team that
Armorers, forget about it. That's
exactly
OP.
Armorers. Oof. For sure. I just recently used a rain team that used a Dreadnought, and the Terra type on that was Grass because you know, being four times weak to Grass, that's kind of the target for all of your grass type moves. And then you use Terra Grass, you become the grass type. Now, not only are you not very effective to things like that, but you also you're not susceptible to Spore. You're not susceptible to Rage Powder. So there's a lot to be said, I think, about
Terra Grass. You're also in rain using Swift Swim.
That's right.
You're not technically weak to fire. Mm. And on top of that, you can hit him with a Stab Rock move.
Right.
It's just the best Terra type for that Pokemon. So I don't know. Defensive Terra types. I know, like, when we were, before this game came out, we were both on the fence about will offense or will defense be good. And I think we both just settled on Pokemon that could do both will be good. But now it seems like the time and the place to Terra isn't when you're going for the offense. It's when you're going for the defense.
If you have enough power. Yeah.
Yeah. So like if it's Garchomp v Garchomp, you don't Terastallize until the other Garchomp's on the field. And then when it is, okay, now you turn into a ground type because you know that the Dragon Claw is coming.
There's often times where you don't want to Terastallize. You go in with a Goldengo, which a lot of people have been doing. Sometimes you want to Terastallize into Steel. Sometimes you very much don't, because keeping that ghost type actually saves you a lot of the time from a lot of normal moves that can really mess you up, like Fake Out or Population Bomb or that kind of stuff. Going into just straight Steel, now you're susceptible to all that.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say, just before we move on, just one thing that I feel like I'm mentioning quite a few times. So I'm going to say it once right now, and that's the way that Protean works with Terastallization.
Yeah.
Because people are still asking this question. We're a good like 3 weeks into the game now. And some people still haven't figured it out, and that's fine. They're catching up. Some people are just heading into competitive now.
Mm-hmm.
The way that Terastallization works, it works like a filter. It works like a mask. All right. It amplifies damage from that specific type. Your Pokemon has a Terra type, and that Terra type does not change unless you change it outside of the battle.
Mm-hmm.
If you use Protean Protean will remove your type that you have. If you use Protean Masquerada, it will change to whatever type move that you use. So if you go and use a flower trick from your Masquerada, it's going to change from a grass and a dark type to a grass type, mm-hmm. offensively and defensively, unless you have Terra on. If you have Terra grass on your Masquerada and you go for a flower trick on your Masquerada, not only will you have the Terra grass filter on, Terra type mask on, but you'll also have Protean. Protean will give you the 1.5 times stat boost. Terra type grass will increase that to 2 times. If you use something like knockoff on Masquerada, which it also gets, it'll change its Protean type to dark. So you'll have that 1.5 times stab damage for the dark move, as long as it's the first move that it uses in the turn. But if you still have that grass Terra on, that grass Terra will not change to dark.
Mm-hmm.
As well, because your Terra grass, that is your defensive typing. When you have your Terra on, that is your defensive typing. Even if you use knockoff on another Pokemon and your Protean type becomes dark, if they use a psychic move on you, you'll still take damage because you are a Terra grass type for all intents and purposes.
That also means that if you Terra into dark, so okay, say you throw in, because you can only Protean once now per switch in. So say you throw in your Meowscarada, you go for a knockoff turn one, and then you Terastalize turn two, you don't get the 2 times boost anymore on your grass moves. You only get the 1.5 times boost on your grass moves because you weren't a grass type to begin with once you Terra'd. Right. Which is why a lot of competitive players are actually opting for Overgrow this time around. Specifically with, when it comes to Choice Bands, people that use Choice Band are still kind of settling on Protean. Simply because you won't change your moves with Choice Band. You are locked into a move. But when it comes to Focus Sash sets, that's where you might click Protect. You might click knockoff, you might click grass move, so they're just settling for Overgrow instead, just to not mess up that terastalization stat
also
damage.
That's a really good point, is if you have the Focus Sash on your Meowscarada and you get knocked down to 1 HP,
you get the
your overgrow is triggered, so now
it
you're doing
ends
extra
up being
damage
better.
On grass move. Yeah,
it ends up being better for the Focus Sash sets. It's a very weird world that we're living in where we're just like, because in my brain, I have Gen 6 brain, right? That's when I first started playing competitive.
Protean
was
tier broken,
dude. Mm-hmm. It's like, if it wasn't Protean, it was bad. So now just seeing Protean just kind of sometimes not be the better option is weird.
Yeah.
It's really throwing me for a loop.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, it was so good, they made a whole mechanic out of it.
Yeah, right? So, I mean, it's very interesting mechanic and it's very interesting the way it works. But if you have an Overgrow Meowscarada, you don't,
not so bad.
You might not need an ability patch.
Interesting. I want to segue that into something that I saw on Twitter. And this is a little quirk. Let's just say that Scarlet and Violet is a little quirky. There are a couple things that are being patched out slowly as people kind of, you know, figure them out and make a bit of a stink about them. And one of the more recent things is how low power moves work with Terra. So we're going to be talking about Nuzzle. Nuzzle is the move here.
Buzz, buzz,
buzz, buzz. 20 power paralyzes the target every time. Here's the thing. If your move matches your Terra type, is below 60 base power after Technician boost, if it doesn't hit multiple times, and if it doesn't have boosted priority, it will have its base power increased to 60. That sounds like a bug, but I do think that's a bug.
It's a bug.
Definitely a bug.
You don't go from 20 to 60. You're supposed to go from 20 to 40, right?
Yeah.
So you're essentially multiplying it by 3 instead of 2 is what that means.
So let's talk about like an electric Terra Pawmot, right?
Okay.
You've got 20 power Nuzzle. that you're using against an enemy Pokemon, that's supposed to do 40 base power damage because you have two times electric boost. That actually does 60 base power right now for seemingly no good reason.
Yeah,
it's just kind of happening right now.
It's kind of there.
Yeah. But that's just kind of one of those like hidden things that people wouldn't really have found, I think, unless they were really trying to dig deep into the game and try to find issues.
Should we make Pierre update the calculator? Probably not. Hey, Pierre, if you're listening, don't do anything. Leave it alone. It's probably not the right way. Speaking of Palmot, while we're on the subject of Palmot, Palmot has that new move that gets rid of its electric typing. I learned that Double Shock, once you get rid of your electric typing, you can Terastallize to put it back.
Right. And you get 1.5 times. Oh, wait, does it put your electric typing back?
Yeah, but I have no idea what happens because I had this happen to me where the Palmot would go for the Double Shock. So I was like, okay, well, at least he can't do that again, right? Because you can only do it once before you eliminate your typing. He Terastallized into electric and got to do it again to me. But since I knocked him out that turn, I don't know what happens next. Does he lose the electric Terra? Probably not. He could probably just have unlimited Double Shocks.
I think that's how that works. Yeah.
That's so silly. That does so much damage.
I think that's because you don't necessarily need to be electric type to use that.
It will fail if you are no type though.
No way. Really?
Yeah, it does fail.
Oh,
if you have nothing to lose, it fails. So I think you can go unlimited.
Yeah, it says right there, Double Shock fails if the user is not electric type, making the move always fail after the first use. Oh,
except unless I guess you Terra electric.
So it does say on Bulbapedia where I'm reading this, a Pokemon that is Terastallized and has an electric Terra type will not lose its electric typing. Therefore, a Terastallized Double Shock can be used multiple times in a row without needing to switch out.
Yo, are we sleeping on Palmy?
We're sleeping on Palmot.
Oh my goodness. That's so good though.
That's really good.
How much base damage is that? 150?
120.
120,
but then multiply plus stat.
That. Yeah, multiply that by 1.5. Disgusting.
180. Yeah.
180. I mean, the thing is, if you really want to be cheeky about it, you don't even have to burn out the first one. You can theoretically go Terastallize, Double Shock, get the first one at times two.
Yeah.
And then the second one at times 1.5.
So that's something that I don't know is if you are Terastallized, does that still burn your. What's underneath the filter? Does that burn your original typing? I don't know.
That's some something coding.
That I'm going to need to check.
No wonder the battle system was broken. There was way too much coding to be involved with this game.
This was stuff that I was saying to Kevin before the game first came out. It's just like Terastallization is such a can of worms that they're opening up. It's so much coding. It's so much figuring out interactions that are already there. And then they have to add in new interactions because that's how you make a Pokemon game work. You add in new moves, new abilities and stuff.
Even know how adaptability works yet?
No, we don't. We know that it's possible.
We have Dragalge to use. Yeah.
We have Dragalge. We haven't tested that yet, but it certainly is there.
Surely someone has had to.
Yeah. I really need to know just how much damage it'll do in Terra.
My guess is 2.5.
Ooh.
Just like give it another 50%. Yeah. It can't be 3, dude. It cannot be 3.
I don't know, man.
Or maybe it doesn't go past 2. Maybe it limits itself at 2, so you only benefit by just giving yourself another times 2 stab.
Yeah, for people who are just joining us and haven't listened to us
wax poetic.
Yeah, might. Haven't listened to us wax poetic about adaptability yet. The thing that we want to find out is if adaptability, which normally increases your stab damage to 2 times, if that plus Terra will either cap at 2 times, do 2 times plus another 50%, bringing it up to, 3 times, or if that brings it up just a flat 0.5, bring it up to 2.5 times. So it can be like anywhere in the range from 2 times to 3 times. Mm-hmm. And we're not sure where that goes.
It looks like the most used Terastallized type for Dragalge is actually grass at 8.621%. Well,
sure, because it's still a Dragalge.
Yeah, and the next closest one is still poison at 3.448. But that's a big gap, though.
That's a huge gap.
That's 5% gap. So I'm thinking that it probably caps at 2. So people are just like, well, I'll just have another times 2 stab in there somewhere.
Or maybe the big damage doesn't necessarily matter.
It just does so much it doesn't matter. Could also because be it's it. Yeah.
Just not a great Pokemon.
It does only have 97 special attack, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's that about Terastallized Nuzzle. If you can find a 20 base power move that, you know, you can make work, honestly, go for it. That's what I'm saying.
Population bomb doesn't work. Just letting you guys know.
Right. It can't be a multi-hit move. Multi-hit moves do not work.
For some reason, they coded that one right.
Mm-hmm. We have new Terra Raid Battle events coming up between December 9th and 11th. Wow, only 3 days. Okay. That's going to be for Tyranitar and Salamence. And apparently, they can be any kind of Terra type out there.
Ooh, different.
Yeah, the Charizard Terra Raid Battle was dragon only. So for those of you who went and got one of those, congratulations. Welcome to the Charizard Club. Can't use it yet. Got to wait until Series 2.
I was so sad when I learned I couldn't use it.
Kevin was so sad.
I was so ready, man. I had that Charizard ready to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then I was just like, sorry. Apparently we can't use Charizard. We can't use regular Quagsire.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said regular. There's no other Quagsire. And we can't use Berserker. Then right. Why give them to me? Why do I have them? Throw them away.
We'll use them soon.
It's
we'll
like giving me $100 soon. And tell me to wait. Thanks.
It's like giving me $100 and saying we only accept 50s.
It makes no sense. Fine, I guess. Okay. Series 2. Oh, we have Charizards you can use now. Thanks so much. I can't wait to use my Berserker.
Well, yeah, sure. But okay, so not only will we have Charizard able to use, but we'll by then likely have home release, no?
I hope so. I think we're going until the end of January with this one.
Yes.
2 months.
That's correct. Yeah. Which I don't know if that was.
Wait, how is Florida Regionals going to work? Surely Florida Regionals is going to have to be Series 1 still. There's no way they're going to do Florida Regionals in Series 2 when it's only been out for 2 days.
Is that not beginning of January?
Beginning of February.
Oh, beginning of February. Right. We're talking Florida San Diego is
beginning of January.
Beginning
of
January.
Florida will be February 2nd and 3rd or something like that.
I don't know. Yeah, that one we'll have to see.
That'll be a weird one.
Yeah, I did. Speaking of regionals, we're you know what? We're just bing, bang, bing over to the different topics. That's how it works today.
This all makes some cohesive sense.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. We're following a road. We're going somewhere. I went to the Toronto regionals.
Yes, over you
the
did. Weekend.
Yes. For all of maybe an hour or two. I was in the area. I thought, you know what? I might as well go and see, maybe try out some of the side events if I can. Unfortunately, there was a traffic delay in front of the venue and I ended up getting in there 20 minutes late. So I missed out on my chance to get into the games, but that's fine because what I did get to see was how games worked at the regionals, how, you know, people interacted, how people were feeling. Got to meet a couple of pretty awesome people there. I saw Calvin Kuhn, who we interviewed on the podcast early, owner of Babiri.net, as well as Sable IBGC, who is who lives in the area as well as me. So yeah, we got to chat. It was a really fun time. I will say, they've got a little bit of work to do. Not Calvin and Ryan, but regionals has a little bit of work to do if they want Scarlet and Violet to work. It's the connectivity is not quite there yet. Now we weren't on the venue Wi-Fi like we would have been in a normal regional setting where you dock your switch and it automatically connects and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe they actually had to physically connect with each other just wirelessly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we had a couple people drop off mid battle. Couple of the graphical effects were still present. Just kind of like a normal battle would be, normal online battle. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it was a largely a positive event. You know, at least 30 people there just for a side event is pretty,
that's really good. Yeah.
Pretty awesome. I do kind of wish that this was an actual official regional event. That would have been really cool. But
now they want us to wait till next year.
They got to make us wait.
Yeah.
I don't hate that they made us wait. I think that it's good for the community. I think it's good for the game. It gives people the chance to breathe and actually, you know, push their way through the game. I think that they could have done one at least before the new maybe. Year, like one, maybe mid December, even the Toronto regionals one, like that one, you had 2 weeks to go through the game. You had 2 weeks to go and make a team. There's no expectation that anybody's going to have a proper team ready yet, because like nobody really knows the meta. People are, I guess, spamming games on Showdown, but
yeah,
I don't think anybody really
day one we thought Dondozo was broken until we were introduced to Murkrow,
right?
Yeah, so things can change really fast. On top of that, another thing we learned from the regionals is that Trick Room and Didi is apparently going to be allowed.
So far, Trick Room, yeah, female and Didi is currently allowed. Yeah. Reason being is it's in the game. Right. Yeah. If it was a thing that you were
legally. Yeah.
Yeah. If it was a thing that you were exploiting to get, we all know technically that female and Didi can't get Trick Room. Mm-hmm. But we know that because of all the third party external sites that we look at that tell us that that's the case. And that
there
we
is
can prove
something else, though.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole thing right now is that you can catch a Trick Room female and Didi by going into a Terra raid battle.
Five stars.
Enough. Five star, yeah, with it. And it'll just have it through a coding error.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, the reason why this is a little bit more is because if you delete the move on that Ndidi, you can't relearn it. If you try to give it the TM, you can't learn it. And if you try to, you know, get it any other way other than that one Terra battle, it doesn't get it. So right, my brain, it's like, okay, this sounds like a simple coding issue where they don't differentiate between female and male when it comes to Ndidi. So they're just like, okay, this is an Ndidi. Here's all the moves Ndidi gets.
Right.
And then once you get into the battle, it's like, oh, one's a female, one's a male. They get different moves. It might just not have clicked.
Right.
But yeah, who is TPCI to determine what Game Freak intended to do?
So currently it is allowed. But I wouldn't take our word as gospel for that, because it can be easily patched out. And the second that it's patched out in game, it will likely not be allowed.
Yeah.
Right. And that's like a version 1.0.1.1 kind of a change.
Yeah, it can easily just be like, yeah, sorry, no. And the move disappears. That's it. Right. Another thing that this reminds me of, what was it? Hydro Pump Drillbur from,
from
Sword and Shield. Yeah, Hydro Pump Drillbur, that which was eventually patched out, but was in the game for a while and was completely legal to own.
You know what that is, though? That's just a Terra Blast Excadrill. It's a Terra Water Excadrill. Why not? That's exactly what that is. Wow.
Special Terra Water Excadrill. Yes.
Yeah. But now you can actually make it physical. So it's a 120 power if your Terra Water Hydro Pump that always hits. Does 50% more in the water, too. Sorry, in the rain. So anyway, between the Tyranitar and the Salamence, obviously, go and grab them both if you don't have them. If you need them for your team, go and grab them. Right now, Tyranitar is by far the more used pick. However, Salamence, I will say that I don't think Salamence has really gotten that much time to shine.
Salamence needs more attention. Everyone's playing with their Garchomps and Hydreigon. Don't forget about Salamence. I think Salamence is super sleeper. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I think just the added benefit of having Intimidate means you don't have to run an Arcanine on the team, which is just another dead slot that you just eliminated, which is nice.
Well, I will give you some food for thought, my friends, that Garchomp is 2 points faster than Salamence. Salamence and Garchomp, I would say, are kind of two sides of the same coin. Mm. Both super physically offensive. They're both fast, but you know, Salamence, you get that added benefit of having the Intimidate, and Garchomp, you either have Rough Skin or Sand Veil, and Rough Skin isn't really a thing that you need to use, and Sand Veil isn't really a thing that you need to use, or it's kind of niche anyway.
Yeah.
But Salamence, the ability is much more usable. You'll still likely want to Terra Steel it. And statistically, most people are Terra Stealing it. You can go for Dragon Claw, Dragon Dance, Protect, Iron Head, the exact same moveset that a Garchomp can have.
Except Salamence gets Tailwind.
It can't get Dragon Dance, actually. It does get Swords Dance, the Garchomp. Salamence does get Dragon Dance.
Salamence gets Tailwind, though,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought of Salamence as a Tailwind setter.
I'm considering it right now, actually.
Really?
I'm trying to build a team because I have the Leech coming up, and I sent Mike a Poke Paste, but I might give him a completely different Poke Paste at this point. But I got until tomorrow.
You do?
Yeah, Salamence is on it. Is it a steel type? Yes. I was considering, I'm jumping between steel and fire. I have to decide what my team needs more. Fire isn't a bad option as well because you get a bunch of fire moves.
Interesting.
The steel does kind of lock me onto physical, though. I don't know if I want to be a physical one. I guess I'll decide that later, though.
Mm. Well, if you're still looking for other Pokemon that you can build on your team, we've got more usage stats currently. Usage stats have been updated for this month. And wouldn't you know it?
Wait, we didn't even talk about the changes. Last week, we thought Flutterman was in the meta. Guys, we don't have Paradox Mons anymore.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, no Legends either. We don't get to play with the Chien Paos and the Tinglus and et ceteras.
Wow, that's unfortunate. It's really quite sad.
But we got Amoongus now.
So, my friends, I want to go back to something that I bring up every single time that I see this.
Welcome to the Mike is Right podcast.
Welcome to the Mike continues to you know, create his syllabus on the course that I could create around Amoongus. Welcome, my friends, to the Amoongus Factor. The Amoongus Factor, I believe I can sum it up in 30 seconds or less. Here we go. The Amoongus Factor is what happens at the beginning of a meta where nobody really knows what kind of Pokemon they want to use. So they toss on Amoongus because it can do everything. It can put Pokemon to sleep. It can remove stats. It can redirect moves like a Nindeedee can do. Can a Nindeedee put a Pokemon to sleep? No, it can't. Amoongus is in any meta.
Nindeedee.
Yeah, but okay. But
it
probably
doesn't even know. I don't even think it gets Hypnosis, to be honest.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Amoongus right now is sitting at 29.63%. That's the top of the ladder so far, the top of the meta so far. The most used Pokemon is Amoongus.
More than Garchomp, more than Goldengo, more than Murkrow.
More than all of them.
Those Pokemon you were sick of, Amoongus has like double their usage.
Yeah. Be sick of Amoongus. Don't be sick of those. Be sick of Amoongus. It's running Spore, Rage Powder, Clear Smog, Protect, or Pollen Puff, or Giga Drain, or Foul Play if you need to do some extra damage. It's a beast of a Pokemon. It has a super high base HP, but you don't need me to tell you that because you're using it on their team. You're using it on your team, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we've got Garchomp.
Terra Water on Amoongus, by the way, is so toxic. Yeah. It is so toxic because people want to hit you with a fire move. Sorry. People want to hit you with a flying move. Sorry. You know, no one's going to go for a grass move on an Amoongus.
That's right.
Yeah.
You have to do some next level predictions to get that to work. What I will say that because everybody is using Amoongus right now, I am more inclined to not run a Terra Water Amoongus. I'm more inclined to not run a Terra anything Amoongus. I'm not using that as my Terra Pokemon because if I'm going in a mirror match against another Amoongus, if I switch anything out of grass, if I switch out of any kind of grass type, I'm going to sleep.
Bored. Yeah. You're going to bed.
I'm going to bed.
Or I'm getting rage powdered. Goggles Amoongus. Just to be sure.
Yeah, for real. So we've got Garchomp, Arcanine, Grimmsnarl, Goldengo as our top five. Grimmsnarl right now, still running the double screens on my own set that I'm working on over on YouTube, youtube.com/pokesports. I am currently running a Brick Break Garchomp because of this specifically.
Speaking of this,
mm.
Grimmsnarl is so popular that I'm surprised and call this a medical. I'm surprised that Arcanine hasn't gotten replaced by either one of the Tauruses yet.
Oh.
Tauruses get, what is it, raging nonsense that breaks screens?
That, I think that is what it's called.
Yeah, Raging Fury or something. They get a signature move.
Raging Bull, yeah.
Yeah, they get a move, Raging Bull, which breaks screens, is, I think, 80 or 85 damage and matches the form that they are. So the regular Paldean one will get fighting type. The other one, the water one, will get water type. And then the fire one will get fire type. They both have very high stats. Arguably better stats than Arcanine, just because Arcanine has 100 stats that it doesn't use in special attack. Mm. Or 100 that it doesn't use in attack, depending on which one that you're going. It is faster than Arcanine, has the Intimidate. The only thing it doesn't have compared to Arcanine is access to Extreme Speed. But the water one gets Aqua Jet. So it's like, it's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
And it gets you the fighting stab you need to take down mouse holds. I am sick of seeing mouse holds at this point, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that pop bomb. Mm. I feel like I'm always just barely living.
Everyone's going bomb. Wide guard. That's why wide lens. That's why it's a 99% chance.
Sure. Yeah. Like it's always hitting all 10 of its moves. But what I'm saying is I feel like I'm always going down to like 7 HP on the ninth hit and then killing me off right at the 10.
It is 200 base damage if you hit all 10. Like, yeah, that's the problem. And then if you're a technician boost on top of it, it's even more. It won't go up to 60, but what's 20 times 1.5? 30? So 30 times 10, 300? Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
From 200 to 300.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah, that's 100 base for free if you hit all 10.
Then if you got a high HP, high defense most Pokemon, you'd just tear a normal.
Mm.
It's a lot. And if they have too much HP, then you can just Super Fang. Super Fang is surprisingly good, especially because you're usually running a wide lens on it anyway.
Yeah, this Mousehold gets way too many things for its own good. I'm almost like it's hard for me to say that Frengard is worse than Technician, but I'm on that fence. I'm on that fence of you should just go with a Mousehold that does damage and have Follow Me for fun. For situations, right?
Right.
You know what I'm also seeing is beat up next to Raging Fist Annihilate. Okay. Every time Raging Fist Annihilate gets hit, it boosts the damage of Raging Fist. So, and I'm seeing that also next to Weak Armor Armor Rouge and Weak Armor Cerulege, you get beat up 3 times or 4 times. That means your Weak Armor procs 4 times, which means your defense is -4, but your speed is +6. And if you have Weakness Policy, you're at +2/+2.
Right. Yee. That's a lot different than like old beat up strategies that we've seen before, like with
justified and stuff,
boosts. Yeah, you're easily able to get a +4 on like a Terrakion if you went for a beat up on that. But you weren't able to do anything about the speed. So you would just kind of have to hope that it was fast enough. And you couldn't scarf it because that would make it faster than the beat up user. So it was kind of a precarious situation. You had to have a Pokemon that was able to set up Tailwind kind of the turn before. So that worked really well with Whimsicott. You could protect with the Terrakion. You'd use Tailwind on your first turn and then go for beat up the next. But this
the
one,
last
you don't
thing
even have
household
to.
Needs is Tailwind.
Yeah, exactly.
Starts flapping its 5 years or 6 years.
So now you just, what was it? Send out a Sneasel, hit the Armorer's Cerulege with a beat up. You can even scarf the Sneasel if you really want to now.
Yeah.
Because then the next thing. Next
Mousehold gets beat up, Mike. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, Mousehold gets it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No.
Mousehold gets the beat up. Yeah. It's a great partner, too, because if someone's trying to hit you with a ghost move, there's no spread ghost moves.
Right.
You just redirect it into the Mousehold. So it's just like, oh, okay. Yeah, wow. It's a mon for sure. Gets a lot of synergy.
Yeah, definitely the Tatsugiri Dundozo combination is falling in usage.
You do need a way to counter it on every team, though.
You still do. Yeah,
I think you do, because if you are if you don't have a check, you lost. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like sometimes. It's like, oh, I don't have an answer to this. I'm going to get done deaded real quick.
And then it'd be dead dozo.
Dead dozo. The bozo dozos. Yeah. Yes. So that's it's still a presence in the meta. It's definitely doesn't feel like a thing that your team should be centered around. Maybe just have a core four and then two slots that you could throw them in.
Right.
Just so you could punish people that don't consider you a threat.
I'm asking ChatGPT right now, what's the best way to team build in Pokemon?
Oh boy.
When it comes to competitive building in for a Pokemon team, there are a few key things to keep in mind. First, it's important to have a good balance of different types of Pokemon on your team. This will give you a better chance of being prepared to face a wide variety of opponents. It's also important to have a good mix of offensive and defensive Pokemon, as well as Pokemon with different abilities and moves. Additionally, it can be helpful to include at least one Pokemon with the ability to heal or support your other team members.
I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
That was very vague.
But you know what?
There's a lot of obvious stuff in there, but it was right. It was accurate. Got
the foundation.
Yeah, it was there. It was true. I can't argue with any of those sentiments.
Exactly. Is it wrong, though?
No, not at all. Did it just say, yeah, you need some of this and some of that, and also some of this with some of that.
Get good Pokemon, but also get strong Pokemon. Right. There's one other interaction that I just kind of want to highlight real quick. And that's one that I found on Twitter by one NBFish420. this is the world we live in. Oranguru was beside an Arbaleva. Oranguru used Chilling Water on the Arbaleva. And the Absorb Bulb boosted the special attack of the Arbaleva.
Okay.
At that point, the Arbaleva is not holding an item. Oranguru has Symbiosis, which shares the item with the partner Pokemon once that partner Pokemon isn't holding an item.
Okay.
So your Oranguru holding a Life Orb is now passing that over to the Arbaleva, and now you have extra damage on the Arbaleva.
Did you just say Oranguru gets Chilling Water?
Yes.
And we're not giving Oranguru and Colossal Strats any try? With Absorb Bulb, Symbiosis, give them a Life Orb?
Oh.
Why are we doing with Arbaleva, not Colossal?
Is what my are we question. Doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? That's so smart.
Why are we doing it with Arbaleva and not Colossal? Okay.
Yeah. but Okay. Well, there's something to try, folks.
Well, there's a thought.
Because that's good the luck, thing, guys. Like with Colossal, what was the thing that was triggering it so far? It was Choice Scarf Palafin. Yeah. So I like a flip turn on Palafin.
You would need a fast mon, and Oranguru is not a fast mon.
Right.
But I think with Terra types, here's the thing. If you see a Colossal, the best Terra type for Colossal will always be Grass. Mm-hmm. Because your 4x weakness to ground goes away, your 4x weakness to water goes away.
Right.
And when you see a Colossal, you either want to hit it with a grass, a ground move or a water move. So you can theoretically just have a slow setup turn, right? Just put all of your eggs for that turn two. Once you have that turn two, heat wave everything.
Right.
Hmm. And you got a life orb plus one. Hey, you got your weakness policy back. Good job, guys.
There it is. So here's one other thing. I know that we haven't spoken about the Limitless VGC $1,000 Series 1 tournament. Congrats to Fed Campo VGC, who came in first with that, using a Goldengo, Murkrow, Dragonite, Hydreigon, Cerulege, and Gengar, which is really, really cool. Big,
it's a very spooky-looking team.
Mm-hmm. And is that Aaron Trailer I'm seeing in second?
Yes, Unreality.
Yeah, Unreality. Aaron Trailer. Coming in with the Dondozo team using that Sylveon that I hate so much.
Sylveon is going to forever stay in your brain, live rent-free in it.
Yep. That's my Excadrill. Sylveon is now my Excadrill.
Your new Excadrill. You know, I think fairies in general just love fire type. I like that we're seeing types that are just better on... Like, there are certain types of Pokemon. Like, fairy types love fire types to deal with steel types. Fire types love grass type to deal with water type. So it's like, it's really interesting that you can kind of just determine what the best steel, the best terror type is going to be. One of the few Pokemon that is really hard to determine that is Hydreigon, though. So Hydreigon is in a strange world right now. It either goes fire type, it either goes steel type, and it either goes poison type. The reason for that is because all three of those things deal with fairy type. And on top of that, all three of those things are weak to ground, which Hydreigon has levitate.
Yeah.
So we'll not lose that, like, say, a Salamence, right? Salamence is flying. We'll lose that flying if it wants to tear a steel. Hydreigon is just going to be like, hey, I can still float.
Wow.
So we're good.
I want to pull some special attention to Rishi Gupta, who came in fifth in this tournament. I just want to list off the Pokemon that they used here. That's a Grimmsnarl and an Annihilape. Palafin, Meowscarada, Skeledirge, and a Mudsdale.
Spooky.
That was a Mudsdale.
At first glance, I thought this was like an own tempo Mudsdale with Swagger, Grimmsnarl, but then after actually looking at the team sheet, it's not at all.
No. It's Earthquake, just high horsepower, heavy slam, rock slide.
It's just an assault vested stamina Mudsdale. Basic set, probably max HP, max attack, brave. It's a meta call, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And the fact that it doesn't show us the Terra type means that the Terra type is just ground on this list. So it's just the basic Mudsdale doing basic Mudsdale thing. It could just be a meta call. Just be like, hey, I see everyone's using Garchomp. Why use Garchomp when I can have a Garchomp that doesn't hit my allies?
Yeah, that's good.
Could just be a Mudsdale, you know? Yeah. Might answer the question there. Also, Mudsdale does better in a meta that is not high damage. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a Kyogre smacking in the face. It doesn't have a Groudon hitting it with anything. It doesn't have a Venusaur smacking it with a Leaf Blade. So the fact that it has Assault Vest for the free plus one and then the stamina for the free plus one kind of just makes it be a little bit offensive and defensive simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a pretty good meta call. Hey, listen, they went 12-4, so. I mean,
looks like it's pretty good, yeah.
Also, Skeledirge, I think, is going to show up in popularity right now just because of how well it deals with kind of anything. Honestly, it unaware is very strong. Mm-hmm. And then once you give that Pokemon the opportunity to, like, Terra Grass and deal with a Dondozo without caring about Dondozo's stats at all, that's really good. And then Dondozo can't really hit you with anything returning because there's no fire moves that Dondozo learns.
Right.
That on top of it getting Slack Off as an egg move.
Yeah.
A Pokemon with those stats should not be getting Slack Off, especially when you're going to give it Unaware.
Unaware Pokemon have kind of been really good for a long time, but not so much in VGC. They've mostly just been with highly defensive Pokemon like Clefable or like Quagsire. But now, finally, when we have a meta where, you know, it allows for some more defensive plays, Unaware actually sees a lot more play.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Terastallization, the Skeledirge usually tears into Fairy for this team.
Joe Uxstein was also using Skeledirge on his team. I think he had a different Terra. But yeah, it does typically beef. It is typically Fairy.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's typically Fairy without any Fairy moves.
Right.
Joe actually went Grass. Probably to deal with the the Dondozos.
Same thing, though. Didn't run any grass moves on it. Didn't Terra Blast. Didn't need it.
Just because the thing is, like, once you're grass, what's Dondozo going to do to you? You could just hit it with Shadow Balls until the end of time. Also, neither one of them is running Throat Spray. You get the Torch Song plus one and the Throat Spray plus one on the same turn. You get a plus two. A free damage plus nasty plot. That's what I would do, but I guess they're going for more defensive sets, as you could see with Joe running Citrus, and I think
Kevin likes his middle of the road strategies where you get your offense and your defense at the same time. Whereas some people, they just kind of min max. If you're going to use a defensive Pokemon, play it defensively. If you're going to use an offensive Pokemon, use it offensively. With exception to like Hydreigon, who usually just wants to run like an assault vest or something like that. Unless you're running a choice scarf or choice specs on it.
Or a Tailwind set, I guess you could do Tailwind Hydreigon too. It's so weird seeing these Pokemon with Tailwind now, because Tailwind used to be so like...
I didn't know that Hydreigon gets Tailwind.
Yes, it does. A lot of Pokemon get Tailwind now thanks to the TM. Yeah, the reason why I think you and me are having the same like mental experience is that in Sword and Shield, Tailwind wasn't a TM or a TR or even like any additional move tutors. So to us, it felt like a very close-knit group of Pokemon that got Tailwind. It was like, okay, it was like Noivern.
Right.
Or Whimsicott or Corviknight or like very exclusive mons got Tailwind. Now it's just like we're seeing random Pokemon get Tailwind for no reason. If Kartana ever comes back in this game, Kartana can learn Tailwind. Just to put that into your perspective. Yeah.
That's a lot. So much.
So much. There's a lot of Tailwind, which is good though, because there's no Whimsicott.
Right.
Fine. I'm totally cool with that. Get rid of the best Tailwind setter, but then give other Pokemon the opportunity to have Tailwind. I thought that was a really good decision by Game Freak.
Yeah.
I hope they don't bring Whimsicott back or I'm going to cry, because then we're not going to see any other Tailwind setter anywhere.
It's still going to be the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah. People will try. God knows they'll try. But anyway.
Everyone's sick of Murkrow already. Guys, did you forget Whimsicott? Just be glad it's not Whimsicott.
At least you can kind of deal with Murkrow.
At least you know the four moves that Murkrow has.
Yeah, exactly.
You know all four. You don't know Whimsicott's four.
You know a lot of the opponent's team if they're bringing a Murkrow.
Yeah.
Like, you know
there's a Goldingo there.
Yeah, exactly. You know that there's a Pokemon that wants to be hazed. Or that it's at least there to deal with your haze. So as long, or to deal with your stat increases. So as long as you don't bring your Pokemon that do the stat increases, then you'll be fine. If you bring your Pokemon that reduce their own stats, then you'll be fine.
I've been playing VGC for a very long time. I feel like this is the year that I've seen the most setup moves in doubles. Everything has a nasty plot. Everything has a Swords Dance. Everything has a Dragon's Dance. It's the most setup moves I've seen in a very long time.
Kevin, I want to thank you for effortlessly transitioning me into final thing that I want to talk about today.
Perfect.
That being Oricorio.
Oh, no.
Welcome to Oricorio. Welcome to Oricori Sports.
There needs to be some backstory here. Mike literally DM'd me on Discord. Let me know when you're ready. Oricorio. And I'm just like, what? Oricorio. And I said, you don't know what you're doing, Mike.
I said, you heard me. Oricorio. Oricorio's signature move.
Revelation Dance.
It's called Revelation Dance. It is a type of move that will adhere to your type.
Okay.
So you get stab on that.
Nice.
It also is influenced by Terastalization.
Really?
Yes. So if you use a grass type Oricorio and use Revelation Dance, it's a 90 power Terra Blast.
Oh, a 90?
Yep.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You still probably shouldn't use Oricorio.
Listen.
Name all the Oricorio types.
Fire.
Yes. I heard you click the mouse. Come on. Fire, psychic, electric, and ghost, and Michael. Ghost.
Yes. Okay. So I've never, ever used Oricorio in my life. And that's fine. Because what it can do, it has Dancer. And Dancer is a move that copies the dance moves of a Pokemon beside you. So if you want to use this special Terra Blast, what's a dance move that ups your speed and special
Dragon special Dance?
No,
oh, special attack?
Special.
Yeah. Quiver Dance.
Quiver Dance. Perfect. Thank you. If you use a Quiver Dance Pokemon
Full Corona.
Let's scarf up a full Corona, folks.
Scarfed, quivered, and smoke. Good set, Michael. I wonder who's going to win Worlds with this one.
Listen, we're going to scarf, quiver, dance, full Corona. We're going to dancer the Ori Choreo. It's going to get that quiver dance, and then it's going to revelation dance. And it's going to do so much damage. I'm going to ask chat right now.
And then what is the Volcarona going to do the next turn?
I don't know. Let's ask the AI. What will Volcarona do in the turn after it quiver dances with Choice Scarf?
Oh, no.
And the AI is thinking. Ah, there it is. If Volcarona uses Quiver Dance while holding a Choice Scarf, it will raise its special attack, special defense, and speed stats by one stage each. In the next turn, Volcarona will be able to take advantage of its increased stats to deal more damage or outspeed its opponents. Let's see. It will still be holding the Choice Scarf, which will prevent it from using any other moves than the one it used to start the turn. That means that unless Volcarona switches out or uses a move that breaks the Choice Scarf's effect, it will be stuck using the same move for the rest of the battle. AI gets it.
I gotta say, I'm very impressed. That
can you imagine?
This is the guys, you're listening to history. This is the beginning of the end of PokeSports right now. We're just tampering with some black magic we shouldn't be tampering with.
We have opened up Pandora's box.
Come back next week where Mike fully replaces Kevin with AI.
Yeah. You know what? I bet the AI never fake outs in Psychic Terrain.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. We'll answer the previous question from the last episode's Q&A next week. We'll get right into that right off the top, because right now we are out of time, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. For all those who are new to the podcast, welcome, and we're so glad that you could join us. If you have any suggestions for things that you want to talk about on this podcast, or things that we should talk about on the podcast, because you're things not invited, should ask
the AI.
Yeah, things that we should. Things that we should ask the AI. Make sure you ask that to us over on Discord. We have a podcast section. You can go and find all that on any of our available links. One of which that I'll give you is YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/pokesports, you'll be able to find any one of our videos that we put out every single day. And inside there, we have all the links to all the other things that we do as well.
Yeah.
One other thing, again, if you're still listening at the end and you haven't yet signed up for the league, the monthly Patreon tournament that we hold on Patreon, you can go and sign up for that. Yeah, that's patreon.com/pokesports. Go and sign up for that. Signups end on December the 8th, but then we'll open up again next month when we host another one. So make sure you're ready for that. Kevin, you got anything else to say?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, I can't
have
wait.
A nice day. Jump off is good. Good night.
I don't. Oh my gosh. All right. We'll see you next week. Jump off is good. No. Okay.
Yes.
See you next time. Bye.